Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateaching Ministries today. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited to be back before you today. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the message on today, God, because I know that it's only because of you that I live and move and have my being. God, I thank you for the message on today. I ask that your spirit would anoint it, Father, and Lord God, that it would be food for our soul and meat for our journey, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're going to be teaching today on heaven, and we're going to be talking about the unity of the faith, amen, among believers. And God gave me this message on heaven, and I want to make it more than one session because we're going to have to talk. It's going to be broke up into about three sessions. But the part that we're talking about today is from the book of St. John, where God says in John 17, and we're going to turn over there real quick. He said, and now, in 17 and 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So let's start, amen. I want to start up in verse 6. We're going to talk about this for a minute. We're in John chapter 17, and the Bible says, this is Jesus' prayer. I really want to start in the first verse because this is a powerful chapter. The Bible says in John 17 and 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. So here we see that this is Jesus getting ready to die and go to the cross. And we know that before he prayed this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, that it was like blood, his sweat was like blood, the Bible says, dripping from his forehead. And he prayed to the Father, and he said, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, because in the flesh, no one wants to die. Amen. But even Jesus did not want to die, even though he knew that was his purpose for coming to the earth, was to die for the sins of the world, because he knew he was the Lamb of God. Amen. But even Jesus in his flesh, the man, did not want to die, but he knew he had to submit to the will of God. That's why he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. So here, Jesus is praying before he is crucified. And he said, as he lifted up his eyes to heaven in verse 1, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So here we see again, one of the things that Jesus came to die for was to be able to give eternal life to us, and that's living eternally. There is life after this life. Paul said, if in this life I only have hope, I am of all men most miserable. So there's got to be something better than this life. Amen, hallelujah. And we know, amen, the Bible says, even if we live to be 70, 70+10, that we still, amen, have got to die as appointed unto men to die. But after you die, then the Bible says there's going to be a judgment. Amen. So the Bible says here that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, what is eternal life? The Bible says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. In verse 4, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Amen. So this is another goal that we have to place among ourselves, to finish the work that God gave us to do on earth. A lot of times you hear people say, I'm not going anywhere until my work is done. Well, you have to begin to work in order for your work to be finished. Amen. But Jesus said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now we're getting into the meat of the scripture, what we want to talk about today. He said, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For I have given unto them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. They have believed that thou didst send me. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. So this is Jesus praying for the church. Amen. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that you have given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. This is the key verse, saints. We want to talk about being one today. We want to talk about unity. We want to talk about being united and being one. The Bible says, Jesus said here, he prayed that we would be one as he is with the Father, that we may be one as they are. This is a powerful scripture. Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, that those that thou gavest me I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one or the evil that is in the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. The Bible says this world is not our home, saints. This is a temporary place that we are to repent, come to repentance and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and receive eternal life in this life so we can live again. But this is a temporary passing place. It's like a pilgrim. We're a pilgrim, the Bible says. We're in a foreign country, the Bible says. So they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. That's what's wrong. A lot of saints want to fit in with the world. We feel upset, amen, when we don't fit in. We feel like we're missing out on something or like the world has something to offer us that we don't have. But I want you to know this world is not your home. Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus said in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word. As we evangelize and preach, there's going to be people that come in that are become saved, that become Christians, that become believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus not only prayed for us, but he prayed for those that are going to believe on him through the word that we teach and preach. Praise the Lord. Verse 22, and the glory, Jesus said in verse 22, which thou gavest me, I have given them. So we have the glory of God resting in us, amen, through the Spirit of God. He said that they may be one even as we are. I'm telling you, Jesus prayed that we would be one. And I want you to understand how important this is to God that we become one. Before Jesus come back, the Bible says he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. And I believe he's coming back for a church that has been united in the faith. Amen. And we're going to prove that to you today in the Word. He's coming back for a church, amen, that is united, that is standing as one, that is not divided. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And we are not made perfect, saints, until we come together in unity. That's why the devil fights the church so hard. He doesn't fight so much for people to, he don't care so much about other things. The main thing the devil cares about is this word right here. He does not want us to become unified, amen, because a church divided cannot stand. A kingdom divided cannot stand. So he seeks to bring division in the body of Christ, amen. And the Bible says, Jesus said in verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. We're not going to be made perfect until we become together as one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved me as thou has loved them as thou hast loved me. The world may know that thou hast sent me. How? Because we're going to be made one in the faith. Verse 24, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Another thing God told me today while I was doing this study, saints, the way that we are to become united is through love. That's why the devil fights so much, amen, in the spirit, amen. He doesn't fight for anything but to bring division and to keep love, amen, out of the church. But I want you to know today, we're not going to see the glory of God until we come together in love and unity. And I'm going to prove it to you in the word. Amen. The Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear record in heaven, saints, the Father, the Word, who is the Son of God, because the Bible says the Word was made flesh and lived and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and the Holy Ghost. All three of these bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are in heaven, and that's eternal. They are always in agreement and on one accord. How do you, now the Bible we talked about the other day, I was thinking about the Lord gave me about touching and agreeing. A lot of times we think that we can touch and agree, and the Bible says if two of you touch and agree as concerning anything on earth, that it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. But God gave me a revelation on that touching and agreeing. Touching and agreeing, you cannot touch and agree unless you are walking in unity and love, unless you are one. If you are not walking in unity and love and you're not walking as one, there is no power in the prayer that you're praying. I don't care about you touching hands, and I don't care about you, you know, touching each other. It means nothing in the natural, talking about a touching and agreeing and a unity of the faith, and it's talking about in the spiritual realm to be united as one and on one accord. Hallelujah. God shows us in his word that we must be on one accord to receive from him as he is on one accord with the Word and the Holy Ghost. The Trinity is not so much about a three-person God as it is about the unity of the Godhead. That's where we get the Trinity from. It's about unity of the Godhead. The Bible says they all agree. We will never experience the power of God and dominion on earth until we experience unity on earth. Adam was walking with God. He met God in the cool of the day. The Bible says that he was without sin. He was an innocent, but he also was united with God. He was in oneness with God. Amen? And that's what we lost in the fall, in sin. We lost that unity. We lost that togetherness. Amen? We were separated from God. But before the separation came, before sin, Adam was united with God as one. God gave us an example of unity in marriage. He said, the two shall be one. Just as he was one with Adam, he gave Adam someone, and he said, the two shall become one. Amen, because she is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The two shall be one, the Bible says. But he likens the church and his son to a marriage. So that means the church is supposed to be united with Jesus Christ as one. There is no disagreement. There is no division. We are walking in love. The church and Jesus Christ are walking in love as one. The reason we are not experiencing the blessings in our life usually is because we are not walking in unity with the Lord and our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why the Bible says the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all of thy mind, and all of thy being. In other words, you have to love the Lord thy God first and foremost, but the second, Jesus said, is like unto it. Now, this brings revelation knowledge into it because Jesus said the second commandment is like unto the first. You have to walk in love with unity of God in God. Number one, you have to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. But the second commandment, Jesus said, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are, Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That means we are to love, walk in love, and walk in unity, amen, with one another. Jesus prayed that we would be one as he is one in John 17 and 11 through 26. The love of Christ is what brings unity to the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus said the world would know that we are his disciples by our love that we have for one another. Praise God. Love, I want you to know, if you don't remember anything else from this Bible study today, remember that love brings unity. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 15. If you go to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse, my key verse is verse 15, but I want to start in verse 9. The Bible says, when Jesus had spoken these things, when they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now we know these were the angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, that's 7 days. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued. Look at this, saints. They all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother. Now, I want you to see, amen, you cannot have prayer, true prayer, you cannot be pleasing to God until you come on one accord. That's talking about unity, being united as one. Amen. They were all continued in verse 14 with one accord in prayer. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas that was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Amen. Let's skip on down because I want to get to the rest of my points today. Jesus prayed that we would be one as he is in John. The love of Christ is what brings unity, and love brings unity. Let's go on down. We're in Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Hallelujah. The Bible says here that the Holy Ghost is about to fall. And before the Holy Ghost could fall, hallelujah, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit still moving by his Spirit and by his gifts, by the Spirit of God and by the gifts of God in the body of Christ, which we're going to get to in Ephesians in a minute. But the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But before this miracle happens, you have to remember in verse 1, they were all on one accord. Let's skip down to verse 46. Peter is preaching here all throughout Acts chapter 2, and we're going to go down to verse 40. The Bible says, with many other words, that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, that they all gladly received his word and were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You want to know why the church is not growing? You want to know why God is not adding souls to the church? We have to get on unity. We have to be on one accord. And when we get on one accord, the Bible says there is nothing that shall be withholding from us. Because in Genesis, remember the Tower of Babel? I think it was around the 11th chapter, or 11th chapter in Genesis. The Bible says they were all with one accord. Now, these people were not saved, but they were on one accord. God himself said nothing shall be withheld from them because they were on one accord. When the devil can get on one accord to fight against the church, we as the church have to get on one accord to fight against the devil. Praise God. But the Bible says here in Acts 2 and 40, that with many words he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this generation, that they gladly received his word and were baptized, and they were added unto the church daily. They were added that day unto the church about 3,000 souls. And they continue, look at verse 42, this is another key verse. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man had need. This is our verse right here, verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The Bible says they even after the Holy Ghost fell, they were even more on one accord. The Bible says they continued daily on one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is the missing link, saint. We cannot, God is not going to bless no mess. God is not going to bless us until we get on one accord. This is what God wants to do. Remember he said the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former? The former house was on one accord. The latter house has got to be on one accord. Amen. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 133 and 1. And I'm almost finished. Psalms 133 and 1. The Bible says in Psalms 133 and 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how precious or pleasant it is, God said, through the mouth of David the prophet, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Look what God says about unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. The precious ointment is symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This is what God has to say about unity. Amen. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So unity is compared to ointment, which is the anointing. And in verse 3, it is compared unto the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, where the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. If you can't see through this verse that God wants unity in the church so he can command the blessing in our lives, praise God. Let's go on, amen. We almost finished. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to wrap it up. Let's start in verse 1. Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Remember, I told you love brings unity. Amen. Paul is telling us here to the Ephesian church and to the believers, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring, the Bible says in verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does the word endeavor mean? I looked it up, and it means to labor or to be diligent about something, to work hard at something. It's the same word that's used in the Bible where it says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, endeavor means to labor or to work hard or to be diligent. Amen? It's not easy, amen. Keeping this unity in the body is not going to be easy. That's why Paul said, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's in verse 3. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See how many times you use that word one there. One means unity. When the same word that you use for that one is the same word you use for unity. There is one God. He's not divided. There is one Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of you is given. No, well, let's talk about this again. I'm sorry. One body, one Spirit, as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So you see right there, there's seven ones. Amen. That's God's number of completion, that number one. Amen. But unto you, let's look at verse 7. But unto everyone, in Ephesians chapter 4, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Look at this. You always talk about the gifts to the body. Amen. But we don't talk about unity, saints. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give us this? For the perfecting of the saints. Remember the other scripture said that we cannot be perfected until we come as one. Well, this scripture says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body. So the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, and the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, and the teachers are all given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. But look at verse 13. This is a key. He said, till we all come in the unity of the faith. There go that word unity again. God is saying we have to come in unity. These ministries were given to bring unity to the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We cannot become perfect in him until we are unified in faith. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. Now look what unity brings. In verse 13, it talks about unity, but look at verse 14. Unity brings that we know henceforth be no more children. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. We have a lot of mature Christians that are behaving as children in the body. There is no maturity in the body. Paul dealt with this in the early church, and we're dealing with the same thing now. You have immature Christians that have been saved for 10 and 20, 15, 20 years, and still there is no maturity in God. The Bible says that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That means, saints, when we come mature into a mature person in Christ, we won't be tossed here and fro. We won't be bringing problems to the pastor. We won't be causing division in the church. Amen. But we'll be able to uplift the pastor. We'll be able to strengthen the pastors and the leaders in the church. Amen. Because the Bible says that be no more tossed about and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, the Bible says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, with whom the body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. So love brings unity. Amen. The Bible says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise him. Saints, I just want to thank you, amen, for listening in today. I want you to begin to pray. The Holy Spirit is giving me to tell you to begin to pray for unity in the body of Christ, unity in your church, unity in your neighborhood, unity at your schools, unity in your government, unity in Christ, that the body of Christ can be edified and built up and that God would be glorified and he is all in all. Praise the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I praise God for this message today. I know I heard from God, and I pray that you received a blessing from listening to this and that you be found in him. Amen. That you be found in him unto the praise and glory of our God. I love you, and I'll see you next time. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateachu Ministry. Good night.